Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're continuing to make our way through this journey, this pilgrimage through the season of Lent. What a blessing. What a grace for all of us. And not only for our own lives and for our loved ones, shall we take sin seriously in this season to really make the effort each day to not just the will of the flesh, but the surrender of the human heart. You can't surrender the human heart without the act of the will, and just submit ourselves humbly to the Lord each day. Lord, I want the most of this season. I want to know what you know about me, Lord, and what you want me to pay attention to. I want to surrender idols that are present in my life. I want to break, by your grace and with your help, these habit patterns of sin that are part of my life as a fallen human being, now being raised to life in Christ as a child of God. I want to walk as a child of God. Remember that simple song? I want to walk as a child of the... No, it's child of the light. As a child of the light, I want to follow Jesus. You know, that simple heart. I want to follow Jesus now. And I want to be everything he died to make me. He paid the full price for me to come into fullness. And I don't want to put it off. I don't want to stay in this twilight. I don't want to stay in that posture like, yeah, I don't want to get too serious about this stuff because this religion stuff or the fruits of the Spirit or whatever, you name it. I don't want to get too serious about it because it'll ruin my weekend. I want to stay in the action. I want to stay connected to the pleasures that I like. Okay, I won't do the really bad stuff, but I don't want to go deeper. And the Lord is saying, no, keep coming. You won't regret it for one moment. Keep coming. And friends, if you had a chance to tune in yesterday, we ended the program in Galatians 5, taking a good look at what Paul meant by works of the flesh, that by God's grace we overcome. And this great season of Lent is one that purifies us and brings us into greater and greater freedom, which means really making a break with the dominion of darkness and the working of the flesh in us, that self-centered me, my will be done, not God's will be done. And then we just talked about the beautiful fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So we can ask ourselves, okay, in this laboring in Lent, like, where's it all going? As I'm trying to make strides each day, where it's going is the fruits of the Spirit. That's one way to look at it. And remember, if you didn't tune in yesterday, the Catechism, paragraph 1832, reminds us that the fruits of the Spirit are perfections. Perfections that the Holy Spirit forms in us. So we're surrendering to a work of God in us. And the work of God is the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And again, we're paying attention to the Holy Spirit. We accept and welcome the Holy Spirit, the burning fire of God's love that's in us. Because Jesus said, I want you to abide in me. He said, the Holy Spirit basically will make that happen if you pay attention to the indwelling presence of the Spirit, who's opening our lives and our minds and our hearts to the knowledge of God, to the experiential knowledge of God. We're getting brought into the love between the Father and the Son from all eternity. And that love is being slowly revealed to us as we keep saying yes, as we keep surrendering and making room for prayer, conversation with God, frequent reception of the sacraments, praying the rosary, talking to the saints, walking with Our Lady, Saint Joseph, and others. We're entering this fellowship in the Spirit, this communion of the body of Christ. And we're saying yes individually and hopefully corporately. And we're moving out of a life that's dominated by the flesh, the insistence of doing things my way, and moving into a working of the Spirit, which is the fruit bearing. This is what the Holy Spirit will do. And it'll be a sign, as I said yesterday at the end of the program, the fruit bearing in our lives. Think about this. Jesus said, like a plant, he's the vine, we're the branches. Is this branch, is your life united to the vine fully? Have you decided to go all in with the Lord? Are you baptized? Are you in the church? Are you receiving the graces given to us in the sacraments of the church, in the Word of God, in the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and a full baptism in the Holy Spirit? Is that happening in our lives? And are we then each day knowing we're being led, knowing we're being held, knowing we're being loved, knowing that we're being taught, instructed by Jesus. We're having some of the saints say, practicing the presence of God throughout each day, making a daily offering, make daily offerings many times during the day, offer ourselves to Him, but knowing, Lord, I just receive Your presence. I receive Your grace. I want all Your purposes to be unfolded in my life. So we welcome love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I mean, I'm sitting here in my life now. I'm older, 67, and I'm not all the way there by any means, but man, I'm a long way from where I used to be by the grace of God. I remember when I started as a late teenage years to try to get serious about the kingdom of God, following the Lord. By God's grace, He gave me a hunger and repented of a lot of really bad stuff and just ignoring God that I did, and kind of a wild kid in packs of friends who were kind of doing the same thing and thought it was all cool. But I worked hard initially to try to make a break from some habits that were difficult to break. And exercising the will is really important. But the Lord will show us that it's not just the working of the will. We need supernatural power, and we need patience. We need consistency. We need to keep bowing down before the Lord with deep humility and presenting our idols to the Lord. And over time, I remember seasons where I did a lot of fasting in my early 20s during Lent. And boy, I'm going to hope to conquer this sin and then get through Lent. And yeah, I got a little bit of freedom, but boom, kind of fall back. Not fully, but ground was taken. There was a measure of freedom that emerged. But now I look back and I said, without even noticing it, I remember there was some wise leaders in my life at that time said, don't stay focused on the sin. Get your eyes on Christ and obedience to Christ and walk by the Spirit. Receive the graces. Pay attention to what the sins are. Take the wisdom that's given about how to fight against it. But don't be preoccupied by it. Become preoccupied with God, the love of God, the gifts of God, the gift of salvation you've been given, the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Let that happen. Take up God's word and start to hear what He's saying and start to believe about yourself, what He's saying about you, what He's doing in you. Accept it in faith and trust, and let hope get birthed in you. And over time, these things will change. And they were right. They're absolutely right. I mean, I'd love to be like St. Bonaventure or St. Bernard of Clairvaux or Teresa of Avila, man, to get there in this time on earth. That's where we're all going. And let's just go for it. Let's just say yes to it with whatever we got, because that's a winner for sure. We'll never regret doing that. And I'm so grateful for the teaching of the church and the catechism that also filled this out. So how do we receive the fruits of the Spirit? How do we cooperate? How do we initially receive it? It came, first of all, in baptism. What happened in baptism? Well, you, whenever you're baptized as an infant or whenever, if you've been baptized, you were under sin. You were under the domination of original sin. You were in a death-directed destiny. You were separated from God. You couldn't do anything about it. Only God can bring us out of that sin-sick condition. And that's what happened in baptism. When the waters of baptism, the authority of the church that's been given by Christ, when the waters of baptism, we either, I either was plunged in it or poured over me, I was washed clean. What does that mean? That the stain of original sin was removed from my life. And what happened in that baptism is that the Lord, the Holy Spirit came, and the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, was applied to my life, and applied to my life in such a way that I was cleansed by the blood of Jesus, touched my life. And that's how I was cleansed from original sin. That's how I was brought from death to life. And a new life began to take place in me. So the working of the Holy Spirit, that's sanctification happened to me. I was set apart by God by a working of the Holy Spirit. And the victorious King, the crucified Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus was applied to my life. And that's where it all began. It begins in baptism. And then how do we go from there? Well, we as free creatures, free human beings, we begin to walk in the footsteps of those that hopefully are leading us in our own families, our parents, and receiving the teaching of the parents, receiving the life of the sacraments and really moving in that grace and the graces that are put before our lives. So it all begins in baptism. It gets strengthened in confirmation. Confirmation perfects, the catechism says, baptismal grace. Brings us into the fullness of life in the church, but it also roots us more deeply in the divine sonship of Jesus. It unites us more firmly to Christ and increases the gifts and working of the Holy Spirit in us. It strengthens our bond with the church, gives special strength to spread and defend the gospel. Those are just some of the things the catechism reminds us. And what actually happens is we're given an indelible spiritual character. It imprints a spiritual mark or character on us. And it can't be repeated. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing for Catholics, both baptism and confirmation. And then we get other gifts of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, you know, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. I love that Isaiah passage, Isaiah 11, 2 through 3. This is the endowment of the Messiah, the anointed one. Who's that? It's Jesus. And he comes to give us these dimensions that are part of his own life. So we're being conformed and we're becoming mature as Christians. We're becoming mature because we're being conformed to Jesus. And I love the fear of the Lord in here. We have to appreciate that more. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and there's so little wisdom in the world because there's so little fear of the Lord that's there. And the ironic thing is in Isaiah 11, it talks about these wonderful spiritual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom and understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and the fear of the Lord. And it says, and his delight was in the fear of the Lord. There's a lot there, friends. Dive into that in your prayer in this season. How do I gain greater wisdom? How do I live more wisely? Say, Lord, give me more of a holy fear, the holy fear that you have of the Father. And that's not servile fear, friends. Jesus never walked around like, oh my gosh, is my Father angry in heaven? Oh, no. Is he going to strike me? No, that's not it. But it was filial fear, like the wonder and awe and the deep, deep reverence that Jesus had for the Father. The awesome power, love, wisdom of the Father. Jesus was captivated by, and a lot of spiritual writers say even now for all eternity, he'll have this special filial orientation. So these are the kind of gifts we're given. And I think for many people in the church, it was that way for me and a lot of my friends when I was growing up, it's just not on the radar. It's religious words that didn't really bring about much change. And if we're not used to pursuing it, we're not used to walking in the Spirit, we can easily feel like, well, okay, I know this stuff, but it really doesn't make any difference in my life. That's where you need some good spiritual direction and need some help. And beginning each day on your knees and say, Lord, bring me into the lived reality of what you have done. Lord, I ask you to baptize me fully in the Holy Spirit, all the graces you want for me. I beg you, Lord, pour it out on me and help me come into it as a lived experience. I want to be on the track that you're on, Lord. I want everything that you want for me. And you just keep hungering, you keep thirsting. He said, those who knock, door's going to be answered. The hungry get fed. The thirsty, your thirst gets quenched. That is a promise. You can take that to the bank. Hunger for God is the key. You just keep hungering for God and all these promises are going to be given to you, are going to come alive in you, even the ones you've already been given that you're not yet walking in. Friends, have a blessed weekend. Hope you can join me next Monday. God bless.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.